That I can't contain, and I can't. My heart becomes free, and my shame is gone. feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. So be overcome by your presence,
the name of Jesus. Provision that you have for us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing and able to meet us where we are and take us farther than where we are. Lord, farther than even our dreams can imagine. We thank you, Father, for all that you've given us. And Lord, through the hardships, through the trials, through the nights, the dark places that we walk through or have been through, Lord, you've been there for us. And Lord, when we call on your name, immediately things change. So Father, today we call on your name. Lord, there are people standing in these pews who need financial provision. Lord, we ask that you work things out for their good. Father, there are people in these pews that have health issues, physical needs. So, Father, we pray, Lord, today, as they're praying, that they would feel your mighty touch. For it's in your name that we receive so many things, Father. And, Lord, often we forget. We get busy. We get sidetracked by the things of the world. And Lord, yes, even idols. But Lord, draw us back to yourself. Allow us, Lord, to realize that you are God. That you are the things that we need to fill the void in our lives. And Lord, as we fill our void with you, you will direct our paths. You will direct our journey, and it'll be a journey, Lord, that will be worth the outcome. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We stand in your presence with hands lifted, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done, what you're doing, and Lord, we just thank you for being you. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us your son, Jesus, that died a terrible death on the cross to save us from our sins, heal us from our infirmities. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us not take that for granted. Let us never stop calling on the name of the Lord. Let us grow closer with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. His name is above all others. I remember when my kids were little and they would have bad dreams. And I would share with them, you know, you say the name of Jesus and those bad feelings and bad dreams will go away. And so many times as an adult, we forget that. We get caught up in taking care of things our own self. And you know we can't do it. Why does it take a failure or a dark place for us to call on Jesus and get close again? We need to stay close to Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we need to take our own advice sometimes as an adult and say, I'm calling on the name of Jesus all the time. I'm going to start my day off calling on the Lord. I'm going to start my day off reading the scriptures, reading the word, embedding it in my heart. Amen. It's so glad to see you, Carpenter Shop. Good morning. We love these cool, brisk mornings, don't we? Yes, yes. It makes your coffee better. It makes your porch less sweaty. It makes it easier to get out and do some things around your yard. We love these brisk fall mornings. We're thankful for these brisk fall mornings. Yes. At this time, we're going to take our tithes and offerings. That's another way of worshiping, folks. Amen. Amen. The buckets are at the front. Feel free to walk forward and place your tithes and offerings into the buckets. And we are excited about what God is doing. How many are using your cards? How many are using your Connect cards? Yes. Thank you, Hershey. Amen. So, if you need more, there's some at the Welcome Center, as well as the little invite cards that go along with it for CSIC. It gives our name and our mission, so make sure you get some of those. Also, use your cards. You only have to use one a week. That's all Pastor asked us for, but I know a couple of you who have had some divine interventions and some connections with folks, and so it's interesting when God places that person in your path. Go ahead and go there, whether you got your card or not. Go ahead and go there. It's good to see you, CSIC. And if you are a guest this morning, please feel free to stop by the Welcome Center that is in our lobby. We have a little gift for you, and we'd like to connect and get some information so we can call you back.
I'm a normal person. And I refuse to believe that Christ has risen from the dead. I'm completely certain my own view of religion is more important than believing in Jesus, the Son of God. I have my priorities straight because my success, lots of money, and popularity is way more important than family, faith, and serving God. I tell you this, once upon a time, families stayed together, but this is no longer true. This is a generation unwilling to commit. Normal people say, I'll be broke, divorced, and spiritually empty. I do not concede that I will be weird and different from the crowd. In the future, I will travel the broad, comfortable, and normal path. No longer can it be said that my life will count. It will be evident that I am short-sighted, selfish, and only living for me. It is foolish to presume that I am different and can change the world. Until love changed everything, and I began to look at life from a new perspective. I am different and can change the world. It is foolish to presume that I am short-sighted, selfish, and only living for me. It will be evident that my life will count. No longer can it be said that I will travel the broad, comfortable, and normal path. In the future, I will be weird and different from the crowd. I do not concede that I'll be broke, divorced, and spiritually empty. Normal people say this is a generation unwilling to commit, but this is no longer true. Families stayed together once upon a time. I tell you this, family, faith, and serving God is way more important than my success, lots of money, and popularity. I have my priorities straight because believing in Jesus, the Son of God, is more important than my own view of religion. I am completely certain Christ has risen from the dead, and I refuse to believe I am a normal person.
Somebody believe love changed everything. Come on. How many of you say, Lord, love changed everything in my life? Come on, clap your hands, lady people. Hallelujah. If you're following us online, it'd be a great opportunity for you. There's a pile of scriptures today. I think I have 125 scriptures in my sermon. And y'all should have said, what? Okay. 77977. You can send a text message, CSIC. App, CSIC app, to 77977, and you can download it, and it makes it so easy for you. The whole sermon's on the screen there, and you can look at it at any time. You can go back to it. In fact, you can go back a year, and sermons are there. We've preserved them. Thank God for the team that takes care of this, and they do a good job. Come on, so many things that happen that make CSIC the place that it is. I was sitting there this morning. I was thinking, you know, I look across the back line, and then I look at the band and the worship singers, and I pass by the nursery, and you know, it takes a ton of people to make a church effective, and I'm humbled by that. I am, to look and see people serving and giving of themselves. And I don't always say it, but this morning I just say, hey, thank you for serving, because we would not be who we are, come on, without you. Amen? There's no way we would be the church that we are. And I don't believe that we are done. I don't believe that we've even touched the surface of what God wants to accomplish through this ministry. You know, we've built churches, we've hit missions, we've got our own missions pastor who's taken our own people to another land and built a church, and there's more to come, guys. There's more to come. I'm just excited for what God is doing. I really am. I want to speak a message to you this morning that I've simply entitled Blessings and Cursings. You choose. Blessings and cursings, you choose. I'm a little surprised with my message today. I set apart some time. While it may have seemed that I was displaced, I had a challenging week, and a couple of you guys asked me, you have a good week, Pastor? I said, you had a good week, but I had a challenging week. And I've discovered that every week of my life is challenging. Amen? I've discovered that there's more on my plate than I really need a lot of times. But there's so many things that God has opened up to me. And I just, you know, just this past week on Wednesday night, and I appreciate so many of you that came to Wednesday night. Wednesday night was epic. It was 10:45 before we ever left the church. And there were people just getting healed and blessed, and it was an amazing time. What an amazing man of God Brian Adams is. And I thank you, Pastor Mike, for connecting us with him. It certainly made an indelible mark in my heart, my mind, and my spirit. But he passed by me, and you know, he offered to pray. He said, Pastor, First Lady, you guys need anything? I said, no, we're good. And I thought, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said, sure, man, shower me down. Let me have it, you know. But he spoke a prophetic word over me in just a brief word. He said, Pastor, get ready, man, new season, new day. And I didn't take that lightly. It was a short prophetic word, but I believe I saw the evidence of that Thursday and Friday. As I said, I thought I was displaced. Like, you know, it wasn't the most comfortable place for me to do sermon prep. I don't know. I know there are pastors in the building and ministers in the building. You understand the amount of time that goes into the preparation of a sermon. Somebody asked me one time, how long does it take you to prepare a sermon, Pastor? And I said, my whole life, okay? My whole life has been a sermon preparation, and it really has. But Pastor Joy can tell you, I will spend anywhere from 20 to 25 hours a week just for what you're getting ready to hear. And every week of my life is, you know, laboring, reading, looking up words, because I refuse. Can I just make a pledge to you that I made a long time ago? I refuse to stand here and not be ready. I refuse. I will stand here and I will be prepared. I promise you. Because one day I'm going to stand before someone stronger than you. Someone more powerful than you. Someone who knows what I am, whether you ever see me that way or not. I refuse to be unprepared. And so I take my time to speak to you very seriously. And I thank you for an online audience. There are people that watch us. I'm telling you, I get text messages and emails sometimes from people that I think, man, I had no idea you were watching us. And they'll give testimony, and they'll share things. And I thought, wow, thank you for the team that does all that. Listen, you'd look at back there at that back line, you may think, oh, I wonder why they're sitting back there at that big computer. Let me tell you something. That's the provision of God to touch a world that you can't get inside this building, okay? And it's amazing the testimonies that we hear from time to time of what God is doing in the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But you know, I felt like I was a little displaced. And I thought, you know, this is not the best place to do sermon prep. I said, Lord, here I am. I feel broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm sitting here in a mechanic shop. My truck's in the shop, and they told me 2 hours. It turned into four. And I just needed to be there, and I knew I needed to be there. So I just tucked myself away, and I began to text Pastor Joy at home. And I said to her, this is my text. I'm in a rough place, but I hope to get my message on path for Sunday. To which she simply replied, you will. You will. And I tell you, God spoke to my heart sitting there for about 4 hours. And all I did then was get started, okay? All I did was hear heaven speak to me. And I thought, Lord, what are you saying? This is, Lord, this is not like you. You know, he said, no, it's not like you, okay? I said, what are you saying to me? He was giving me a download, and I thought, wow, I just, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I said, you mean you want me to just read scriptures, you know? I said, and I counted them. I said, Lord, that's 125 scriptures. And I began to think about my love for preaching. I love to preach. I love giving my life to preaching the gospel. I love homiletics. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's not a word in tongues. That's the study and the art of preaching. Homiletics. Many of you, some of you sitting here have taken those classes. Homiletics is the study and the art of preaching. Hermeneutics. I love hermeneutics. You say, well, what is hermeneutics? Hermeneutics is the art and the skill of drawing out the truth of God's word from the pages. Hermeneutics means to draw out the truth. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. You may not get the approval of men, but you need the approval of me, says the Lord. And so it's the drawing out of God's truth so that when you do stand up, you have something to say, but not only just something to say, but you have something accurate to say. Okay? I hear a lot of preachers, man. I thought, boy, he busted that one. You know, I thought, that doesn't mean that. People stand up and preach things that's totally out of context. It doesn't mean what they said it meant. And you don't have the right to do that. It was the early church father, St. Augustine, who said that if you pick and choose, I'm going back now years into Bible college, so I hope I get this quote right. St. Augustine said this. He said, if you pick and choose what you believe in the scriptures, it's not the scriptures you believe, but yourself. Okay? If you pick and choose what you believe in the scriptures, it's not the scriptures you believe, but yourself. Don't end up with a Jefferson Bible. Some of you say, what is that? Thomas Jefferson was said that he took a pair of scissors, and everywhere he saw the miraculous, am I right, Pastor Bernie? Everywhere he saw the miraculous, he would cut it out of the Bible. And he said, that's not true. And he fashioned a context of scripture that he said he could believe. So you listen, you and I don't have the right. Listen, I don't care what the Bible says. It's for you whether you believe it. Matter of fact, remember that bumper sticker? If Jesus said it, I believe it. That settles it. Amen. Let me just shorten the thing. If Jesus said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, okay? If Jesus said it, that settles it, okay? You don't have, you know, some of you, listen, if we got every one of us talking about theological perspective and all those other things, we'd have as many opinions as we have people in this room. So you have to just lay your opinions down, you know. You have to just submit yourself. You know, when I read the Bible, I just say, Lord, speak to my heart. Speak truth to me. Uncover your truths to me. You should pray before you read the Bible because God's word is true. And you want to be able to embrace truth, and he's the best commentary I've ever known, you know. I love commentaries. Most of them I've given away. I've given away hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books in my life. I've heard about pastors who, I know a pastor who lost his entire library in a fire. His house caught on fire, his church caught on fire, rather, burned the church to the ground, and inside of that church was his personal library. And I called him up. I said, hey, man, I'm sorry to hear about your church, and I said, I'm assuming you lost a lot of things personally in there. He said, Pastor, I lost my entire library. I said, man, all these years. He's retired now, lives in L.A., lower Alabama. So I called him up. I said, hey, I said, why don't you come by my church, bring some boxes. And I said, you can have anything in my library you want. He said, are you serious? I said, absolutely. So he came by and he bought boxes, and he just started pulling off my shelves. Wow, you got the works of Kenneth Wiest. And you know, Brian, I know that's one of your favorite books. I gave mine away, okay? I had the little one condensed volume, the blue one. That's about 8 inches tall and about 4 inches thick. I gave it away. The works of Kenneth Wiest. I had all kinds of books that were cherished books of mine, because if you're going to be a preacher, you're going to have to be a reader. If you're going to be a preacher, you're going to have to be a studier, okay? And so I gave them away, and then I heard about the, you know, the flood of Hurricane Floyd behind the hospital that we were involved in, and I know that Pastor Barnes lost his entire library to water. And so I called him up. I said, hey, Doc, I said, I know you lost your books. He said, well, I tried to save them. I said, they're not going to be any good. They're not going to be any good. I said, why don't you come by the church and bring some boxes? And I watched him load up books and take them away. And then I found a young man who said God had called him to preach, and he put on Facebook one day, please pray for me. I don't have the money, and I'm trying to build my library. So I silent messaged him, instant messaged him. I said, hey, come over to the church on Wednesday. We have power lunch at noontime in those days. I said, bring some boxes with you. And I remember him backing up to my door over there, and he said, man, are you serious? I mean, my whole wall, and some of you have been in my office in those days, my whole wall was just a constant library all the way around. And I just said, bring boxes with you. And I had the original pulpit commentary. Some of you have seen that, man. You're talking about, you don't have volumes from Genesis to Revelation, every one of them about this thick. And he said, pulpit commentary? I said, yes. He said, I can have that? I said, if you want it. And I gave it away. And if you walk in my office right now, I probably have 12 books in there. I've given away my library. You know what? I've had my time with those things, collecting books. And I got some cherished ones that I don't want to get rid of. But I've given away my library. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men will give unto you. And God has blessed me more than enough. I don't need another book. Amen? I got more books. You know, people, hey, did you see the book? Did you buy the book? I don't need another book. You know, I pick them up sometimes, but then I end up reading them and giving them away. You know? So, you know, sometimes God has a different season for you. Sometimes God has a different path for you to go. And I love those homiletic, hermeneutic things. And I've given my life for that. And I've done what I could do to prepare myself for ministry. But yet God often speaks to me in different ways. As much as I love homiletics and hermeneutics, Pastor Joy's prophetic text to me, you will, came to pass. I said, Lord, this is kind of different. No real illustrations. No, he said, it'll come out of you when you get up there. It'll come out. And my team's probably looking at me now like, hey, you're not where you're supposed to be. Hey, I'm there, okay? I'm in the zone, Bubba, okay? So I said, you know, I was reminded of Jonathan Edwards. For those of you who have studied church history and revivals of the world and of this earth, Jonathan Edwards preached at his own church. It was in Northampton, Massachusetts. And he was a stately old man. It's like a George Washington kind of guy. And we definitely don't do our hair like that today. But Jonathan Edwards, in 1741, he preached that message in his own church in Northampton, Massachusetts. And then he preached the same sermon again in Enfield, Connecticut. It was said that he basically sat in front of the congregation and in kind of a humped over fashion, kind of slumped over, monotone in his speech, read the sermon of all sermons. You can find it. You can Google it. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. The manuscript is there. Where he basically just followed the heart of God and called God's people to a time of repentance. And it became known as the catalyst for the Great Awakening. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it's an amazing thing, because God just kind of took him out of his comfort zone, and he just sat there and read this thing, and God did amazing things. And so I'm expecting our hearts today to be touched by the written word of God spoken to us all as God spoke to me. The Lord took me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is called the second law. D-E-U, the prefix there, is like it means two. So he's saying that Deuteronomy is the second law, and it's not a change from the first. The law didn't change. We're talking about Old Covenant here. But rather, it was a copy of the law. It was a reinstatement of the law for a new generation, because it was needed. Why? Because over 2.5 million people died murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. I don't think all of you heard what I said. I said over 2.5 million people. You know, Moses led over 3 million people. That's a large church, okay? But 2.5 million died 40 years of wandering and complaining. Okay? I'm going to tell you, that's a serious issue, all right? That's a serious issue, murmuring and complaining. And so Moses has to reinstate the law. Moses has to call, because, hey, most of the people, and you'll see it in the word here as we begin to read it, most of the people, they were not the ones. They were not the ones that needed to hear this. He's talking to descendants, kids, grandkids, that are camped out on the east side. Let's look at it like this. They're camped out on the east side. I'm standing in the middle of the Jordan Valley, okay? You'll see it in just a few weeks. I've been there many times, number 13, November 7th. On the east side is the nation of Jordan, the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. And on the west side is Israel, okay? And so here God's people are camped out on the east side, and they've made a place of settling. They are there to embrace, look forward to the fulfillment of God's giving them what? A promised land. You see, God made the covenant with Moses. Remember Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, from your people, from your father's household." I've often noticed that when I read that verse, it's not hard to leave your country, okay? I mean, if you leave your country, go to another country. It's not, and then he says, go leave your people. Well, it's not hard to leave the old Carolinians. You know, I'll just go to another state. That wouldn't be too bad. But then he digresses down, leave country, leave your people, leave what? Leave your father's house. Wait a minute. Wait. Pop taking care of me, okay? Pop's helping me. Pop showed me the way. Pop set me up, okay? It's a little hard to leave that. So he maybe gives it to him a little bit of in a digression fashion. He says, but this, I want to tell you this, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. Come on. And whoever curses you, I'll curse them. Okay? Somebody say, God's got this. He says, if they curse you, I'll curse them. And all the peoples of the earth, come on, guys, will be blessed through you. This is an Abrahamic covenant. Okay? This is the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12, if you look verses 6 to 8, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. You know, it's a great thing for God to say, hey, I'm going to give you the land, but by the way, it's inhabited, okay? Okay. And all you got to do is drive out these people, okay? I mean, listen, the stories are in the Bible. They were victorious at that. And the Lord appeared to Abram, verse 7, and said, to your offspring I will give this land, this promised land. So he built an altar there to them. If you read in your Bible, you look at it and it's all caps. I was going to say, did you put it in all caps? Yes, I did. There he built an altar to the L-O-R-D capitals. What is that? Some people, I'm going to say this, and some of you, if it's the first time in your life you've ever heard it. I know, because I remember the first time I ever heard it. He says he built an altar there to the Lord. That's where we get our word, Jehovah. But can I just get you to drop that word? Because that's a man-made word, okay? That word is not Jehovah. You say, well, I've always heard God's name's Jehovah. No, listen, the scribes came along. They put the consonants in there. The scribes came along and put the vowels. So it was YHWH. L-O-R-D is YHWH, which is translated. The scribes come back and put the consonants near the bottom. And we call his name what? Yahweh. Yahweh. There's a great song out there in the worship area today called Yahweh. Powerful song. Powerful song. Yahweh. He says he built an altar to the Lord, to Yahweh, and called on the name of Yahweh. Okay? And so from there, verse 8, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to Yahweh and called on the name of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 11. Love the Lord your God. Here comes the commandment here. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Jesus said something later in the New Testament. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Keep the covenant always. Remember today that your children, look at this. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw. Okay? So mom and dad got to tell the story. Okay? Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you our history as God's children. They were not the ones that saw and experienced the discipline that Yahweh, your God, and his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army. They didn't see it, he says, to its horses, to its chariots. How he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord, Yahweh, brought lasting ruin to them. They were your enemies, he's saying. And the Lord caused a split in the middle of the Red Sea and rolled back the water like a wall, and chariots are going upside down and horses are drowning, and the children walked across on dry ground. He created a path. Psalmist talks about that. Your footsteps were never seen, but you were walking with us through the middle. I love that psalm. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, you say, well, who are these cats? They were some of the most terrible antagonists of Moses. You know, every preacher has somebody that nags them. I have people that nag me all the time. Okay? Somebody's just like a burr in your saddle. You have those. If you're going to be in the ministry, you're going to have people that are just not for you. After people call me up or text me, say, hey, this is what you should be doing. Okay? That Moses had them too. Abraham had them too. Here's what he says. He says, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, the Reubenite. He was from which tribe? The tribe of Reuben. He said, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all of Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, every living thing that belonged to them. The Lord says, bloop, delete, okay? Delete. So you know that you weren't there, but let me tell you what our people have experienced, and you weren't there. This is what Moses is doing. He's doing the second law here. He's doing not another law, the same law applied. He's reiterating. He's renewing it. Okay, he says, verse 7, but it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands. Somebody say commands. I'm giving you today. Why? Why do I have to obey what you said, Lord? So that you may have strength to go in, strength to take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, no kidding, a land flowing with milk and honey. You can drive through the Jordan Valley and you just sit right there and just look at, there's a field of onions, there's a field of tomatoes. I mean, just crops. And they don't say, well, you know, I'll be glad when July gets here so I can get some fresh tomatoes. No. After that crop finishes, another one, and another one, and another one. And they just go all year long, crop after crop after crop. Why? Because this is a land that flows with milk and honey. This is the promised land. It's a fertile land. It really is. He says, the land you are entering, verse 10, to take over is not like the land of Egypt where you came, okay? Where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a little vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing, verse 11, the Jordan, to take possession of, is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. I've told people who've never been before, listen, get ready. The grapes over there are the size of plums, okay? The plums are the size of peaches. The peaches are the size of grapefruits, and the grapefruits are the size of cantaloupes, okay? They're just beautiful fruits, beautiful things, and you love them, to love the taste of those things. And he says, it is the land, verse 12, the Lord Yahweh, your God, cares for. The eyes of the Lord, your God, are continually, listen to what it says here, the eyes of the Lord are continually upon Israel. This little dot on the map, the size of the state of New Jersey, is a mirror for the rest of the world. Okay? And he said, the eyes of the Lord are continued on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully, here's a condition. God's a conditional God. God's a conditional God. He's always saying to us, if you will, then I will. If you clean your room, I'll let you go to the movie. If you clean your room, I'll let you use the car. Okay? It's the same principle. God is a conditional God. His word is filled with, if you will. Okay? He's a conditional God. And he said, so, verse 13, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then, somebody say then, yes. Then I will send the rain on your land in its season. Okay, so what is the rain dependent upon? My faithfulness to keep his covenant. Don't forget the title of the message, blessings or cursings, you choose. Some of you can sit here today and bellyache and complain about, I just don't understand why I'm going through this. I could tell you why, because you're not keeping the covenant. That was quiet. I heard one person chuckle. I just don't understand. I try, work so hard, pay bills, ain't got a dime left. Well, look at your check register. How much tithe have you given all year long? If you've made $70,000 already, have you given 10% of that to the local church? Well, you know, I can't afford to. No, you can't afford not to. Because if you will, he says, I'll throw open the windows of heaven. My wife and I were having a conversation just this past week about giving. And she said, you know, honey, we give a lot away. I said, I know. I said, we do. I said, it's surprising. We were talking about things that we had given away, things that we had blessed people with. I just gave you an example of giving away my library. I spent all my life building my library, and the Lord says, give it away. Okay? I've spent my life giving, and I've also spent my life receiving, because God blesses those who give. So don't complain about what you can't do, or you can't do this and that and the other, but you're not giving to the Lord what's already his. It's not yours to start with. It belongs to him. Okay? So if you faithfully obey the commands, he says, then I will send the rain in its season, and in the autumn and the spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. Be careful. Oh, here's a warning, verse 16. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. I think we've done that in America. Some people's God is anything related to sports, some people's God is anything related to entertainment, some people's God is just things, you know, just can't get enough, got a lot of toys, man. Some people just have a different God. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with having stuff. You got stuff. I seen your stuff. No, but I don't worship those things. Those are not my priority, okay? God has blessed me with what he's blessed me with, but I'm also a conduit. I'm freely willing to give away, okay? So he says, if you do that, I'm going to send the rain on the land in the season. I'm going to provide, verse 15, grass in the fields for your cattle. You'll eat and be satisfied. Be careful. You might be enticed to do what? Turn away, worship other gods, bow down to them. Then, somebody say then. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you. You made covenant, dude. Now you're not keeping your end of the covenant. I said I would, and now you're not. He said, my anger will burn against you, and I will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain on this promised land, and the ground will yield no produce. I don't care how big you said the grapes were, they're not going to grow anymore. And you will soon, what? Perish from the good land the Lord's given you. Fix these words of mine where? In your hearts and in your minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. For those of you that are going to Israel with us in November, oh, you'll see it on the plane when we leave New York City and we head to Israel. You're going to see it. You're going to see those people get up out of their seat, and they're going to go to the front of the plane, and they got their phylacteries on their arms. They got leather straps all the way from their shoulder down to their wrist, and they've got little boxes on there. It's called a phylactery. Google it. Phylactery, P-H-I-L-A-C-T-O-R-I-E. It's a phylactery. And inside of the phylactery is what? The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. That's what's in the box. They've got it around their forehead, okay? And they're standing at the front of the plane. They're doing all, you say, what in the world is he doing? He's keeping the command. What are you doing here today? Keeping the command, okay? That's what you're doing. And he says, listen, they're gonna tie them around their forehead, bind them on their foreheads. And he says, verse 19, I want you to do something very important to that next generation. I want you to teach these things to your children. Little kids that God trusts us with. Are we teaching them, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus. They need to know Jesus loves them. Okay? They need to go know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. They need to know these things. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. They need to learn these things while they're young. And he says in verse 19, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. That pretty much covers it all, don't it? Okay? Talk about it when you're hanging out at the house. Talk about it when you're walking down the street, taking your little walk. Talk about it when you get ready to go to bed. Talk about it when you get up. Good morning. What you want for breakfast? Jesus saves, okay? Talk about it all the time. Over breakfast, talk about the goodness of the Lord. My wife and I still do this. Sometimes we're just sitting and eating somewhere, and we say, you know what? God has so blessed us. We just talk about it. We talk about the blessing of our children. We talk about Joshua. We talk about Abigail. We talk about Zach. And we talk about how we see God working in their lives. Because verse 19, you teach it to your children. Thank God, shepherds. Thank God I saw you in the nursery this morning. They're sitting there with the kids. Susan Pauly in the nursery. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for kids ministry right now on their level. They're learning the scriptures. They're learning about Jesus on their level. Thank God for people who volunteer so that these things can be done, okay? Teach them, he says. Verse 20, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Walk in my house, either end, waterfront, riverside, street side. I've got a mezuzah on both of my doors, okay? A mezuzah. What is a mezuzah? A mezuzah is a little box that has two little holes in the end where you can put a screw in there or a nail in there, and you put it, you always have to tilt it. Don't put it up straight. For some reason, you tilt it a little ways, and you put it on the doorpost. And inside the mezuzah is a rolled up piece of paper, almost looks like a fortune cookie. And if you open it up and take it out of the back, you know what it says on the inside of it? It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one God." Okay? The Shema is in there. Okay? "As for this house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the Lord will bless me when I leave and bless me to return." And sometimes people who have these will even just go and kiss the little mezuzah on the way out the door. Now I know what you're saying. "Pastor, will you bring me a mezuzah?" Yes. Yes. If the money's right, I'll bring you a mezuzah. Okay. They're cheap, I promise you. Well, you can buy cheap ones, but you can also buy very nice ones. I have a couple of nice ones with gems in there and all that stuff. And when we built our house, we put the mezuzahs on the doorpost. We put a Bible inside of a cinder block and filled it up with cement on the corner post of our home. Pastor Mike was there, okay? He was there. He helped me put the foundation to my home in, and we took that Bible and scrolled it up just as tight as we could and packed it down into that cinder block and poured cement on it. On my boathouse, I have a Schofield study Bible that spent a night out in the rain one time, which was a mistake. I was attending a revival at Askeville Assembly of God, and I left my Bible on top of the car. And sitting in the church, I heard the thunderstorm, and I thought, uh-oh. Joy said, "What?" I said, "I think my Bible's on top of the car." And I went out there, and it was already saturated. So I took that Bible, and when I built my boathouse 18 years ago, I put the Bible on top of one of those rafters, and I took a bungee cord, and I put a bungee cord around that Bible, opened up to Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I've watched my neighbors' peers destroyed. I've watched them on this side destroyed, and mine has never lost a pole. Amen? All right? God is a protecting God. God is a protecting God. Man, I'm loving this. I don't know about y'all, but I'm loving this. He says, write them on the door frames. Verse 21, "So that your days and the days of your children." Parents, don't miss this. You better teach them kids. You only have one shot. They're getting older and older and older. One little shot. And it'll go by so fast. And if you don't instill Jesus into their souls, you're going to lose them. They're going to be the generation that doesn't make it. Because listen, man, prophetically, your kids are born in the most challenging timetable the earth has ever known. That's it. They're born at a tough time. I pray often for Eli, for Cleo, and for even for the other ones. I pray for Levi and Caleb and Alexei. I pray for those kids thinking, my goodness, what's it going to be like? You know, my little 7-year-old came home from school, and she's asking her mom the first day of school, Ava. We pray for her as well. Ava asked her mama, "Mom, what is a first day of school?" She comes home with this question, "What is a?" in a profane word. And the second day, she comes home with that, "What's that?" This is the second grade. And she's not just in any school. She's in a cardinal school in Raleigh, okay? She's in a special school, a very nice school, okay? And she's coming home asking these kinds of questions. You better instill Jesus in these kids, because you don't have but one chance, okay? You don't have but one opportunity. "So that in your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that are the heavens above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow." Parenthetically, he says this: to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him. "Then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger than yourself, stronger than yourself. Every place you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon." I've been there too. "And from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea." Been there too. "No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and the fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord, the God that I'm giving you today, and the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. Man, social media is a great tool, but it so breaks my heart. Sometimes I just say, you know what, I just need to get off Facebook. It so breaks my heart when I look at people who are professing believers, and I look and say, man, look at that. Look at where they are. Look at what they're doing. They talk Jesus out of their mouth. Oh, have a blessed day. And then you look at what they're doing, the atmosphere that they're mixed up in the middle of, and you think, how does this work? I can't do that. I can't. I can't serve two gods. I just can't. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one God. And you shall do what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Not part of it. Not just on Sunday, okay? Then you don't have Christianity, you have idolatry. Because idolatry is worshiping anything that is meant to be used, or Augustine said, using anything that is meant to be worshiped. Either way, it goes both ways. St. Augustine, powerful man of God. Worshiping anything that is meant to be used, or using anything, using God, that is meant to be worshiped. That's idolatry. He said, verse 30, as you know, these mountains across the Jordan westward toward the sun, near the great trees. We've covered that. Go down to verse 3, I believe it is. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out, okay? You're just going to be blessed. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but they'll run like a dog from seven others. Okay? Your enemies will come at you from one direction and flee like a dog in seven different ways. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep his commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then, verse 10, all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. People say, I don't believe in that prosperity message. I do. I don't believe you name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, confess it, and possess it. I don't buy into that. But I believe that God wants his people a prosperous people. Nothing wrong with having money. Nothing. Nothing wrong with it at all. I want more of it, okay? But it's not going to become my God, okay? He says, in the fruit of your womb, your livestock, your crops, and the land that he swore to your ancestors. Verse 11, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of all of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will lend, but not borrow. Okay? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Okay? Watch the profession of your mouth. How you doing? I don't know. I'm making it. No. You're not just making it. How are you doing? Man, I'm doing wonderful. God has blessed us. I hope to hear the same from you. Just profess it out of your mouth. I am well. I have people ask me every day of my life, Pastor, how you doing? I'm doing well. I'm doing good. Now, inside of me, I may be fighting a battle, but this is how I fight my battles. Come on. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Lord. Okay? We sang about it earlier in the service. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You have my back. Okay? So listen, you're going to have challenges. Challenges are a part of it. Challenges are a part of it, but God will watch over you. He will protect you in all of your ways. All right, help me here. Where was I at? 11, 12, 13. You got 125 scriptures here. You're going to get lost, okay? So do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. You can't do it. You can't. Listen, if you're going to make a profession of your faith to follow Jesus Christ, you can't live according to the standards of the world. That's why I said it's so disappointing to me when I look on here. I just say sometimes, man, what's up with that? Father, help them. Help them. Because you're looking stupid. You're professing Jesus, and then you're looking crazy. Like you don't even know Jesus. Some of y'all are sitting here thinking, I wonder what he saw. Some of y'all just pulled up your personal Facebook right then. Yeah, I'm just telling you. Put your phone down, okay? You can delete it later. It's just true. It's just true. Paul told the church at Corinth, the epistle that you have walking around is the only Bible that some people will ever read. Isn't that true? You are living epistles read by men. One of Pastor Joy's favorite verses. Living epistles read by men. So people are watching you. People are looking to you. Oh, he's a carpenter shop, right? Yeah. Oh, he's a Christian. They're watching your life. And your life is preaching the message. Mm. I feel the Holy Ghost in here this morning. Amen? It's just the truth, friends. And so, I hate to shift gears, but I got to shift gears. I got to start reading from verse 15 on down. However, get ready, man. Tighten that seatbelt up. If you do not obey. Now, we covered obedience, right? We covered blessings, right? He says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. You heard these words before? The adjectives changed, though. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed? No, cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, the crops of your land, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flock. Same word, but blessing has changed to what? Cursing. You'll be cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you. Where do they come from? Yahweh. He's God. The Lord has the power. He will send on you curses, confusion, rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you're entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever, inflammation, scorching heat, drought, blight, mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, and the ground beneath you will be like iron. The Lord will turn rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you're destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. You will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for the birds and the wild animals, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, festering sores, itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope like a blind person in the dark. You'll be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed. No one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another man's going to take her and rape her, and you will build a house, but you'll not live in it. You'll plant a vineyard, and you'll not even enjoy any fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your very eyes, and you're not going to eat a piece of meat. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned. Somebody say, somebody stole my car. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and your labors produce, and you'll have nothing but cruel oppression all of your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and your legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You will become a thing of horror and by word and an object of ridicule among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you. You will sow much seed in the field, but you'll harvest little, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather the grapes, because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil, because the olives will drop off. You'll have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them, because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and the crops of your land. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you're going to sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour the young of your livestock and the crops of your land until you're destroyed. They will leave you no grain, no wine, olive oil, any calves or herds or lambs of your flocks until you are ruined. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege the cities throughout the land the Lord your God has given you because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege. You will eat the fruit of the womb, the flesh of the sons and the daughters of the Lord your God has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion for his own brother or his wife he loves or his surviving children. And he will not give to any one of them any of the flesh of his children that he's eating. It will be all he has left, because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of all your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband that she loves and her own son and daughter, the afterbirth from her womb and the children she bears, for in her dire need she intends to eat them secretly, because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. If you do not carefully follow the words of this law, which are written in the book, and do not revere the glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of law until you're destroyed. You were as numerous as the stars in the sky, will be left but few in number, because they did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it has pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you're entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood, stone, which neither you nor your ancestors have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, I wish it was evening. In the evening you will say, if only it were morning. Because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights of your eyes will see, the Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. I know that's got to be some of the most depressing words and probably more verses than most Christians read in a week. That's the Bible. Well, that's the old covenant. Yes, it is. And you ought to just stop with me for a moment and thank God that there was a man named Jesus who came and fulfilled the covenant and became flesh and dwelt among us and gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And well, that was old covenant, Pastor. Well, let's read the new covenant. Let's see what he had to say about what we just read. Jesus was teaching, and Jesus was the fulfillment of the covenant. And Matthew records that this happened while Jesus was teaching, Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Hearing that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them said, he's an expert in the law. He tested him with this question, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus replied, "Heard this before? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your intellect. So I'm to love the Lord my God with my mind. What are you thinking about these days? With your soul, your mind, your will, that is the decisions that you make. What have you decided to do with your life? What have you decided to do on weekends? What do you decide to do on holidays? What do you decide to do? And your intellect. He says this, verse 38, is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at verse 40. All the entirety of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Hebrew Bible, the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, all of the content of the law and all of the contents of the prophets, major prophets, who are they? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Well, why is Elijah and Elijah not major prophets? There's no written words on them. They didn't write anything. They were great prophets, but there's no written words from them. Then the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Major prophets, minor prophets. Well, Pastor, I've always wondered, what's the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet? Their books are longer. That's it. The books, the writings that they have were short, and they're minor prophets. The word major and minor doesn't describe their position with God. It describes the amount of words they wrote. Okay? What's the difference? The length of their writings. But listen, that's just extra information, okay? All the law, all the prophets hang on these two commands. Verse 37, love the Lord your God. This is what he's called you and I to do. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, our mind, our will, the decisions we make, and with all of our mind. And verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? We'll talk about that next week. Who's my neighbor? My heart bumped a little bit when Pastor Joy said, y'all using your cards? And I get one response. You using your cards, Pastor Gaby? Come on. How many of y'all using your cards? One person says I did. Two people. I have it a two, now three. Three and a half, now four, now five, five. Don't get me selling something. Have it a five, a little bit of five. Five, now seven and a half, now ten. If you want to have an auctioneer, hire me, okay? Sorry, you can't. I have no license. I got to do something when I'm riding down the road, so I listen to auctioneering videos on YouTube. And I practice when nobody's in the truck with me. All right? Guess what I figured out? I can do it, okay? I can do it. So, my question for all of us today is this. Do you want blessings in your life? Or do you want cursings? Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn up from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known. Moses says his final conclusion in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I read the whole book this week. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, he says, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. For the Lord your God is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Blessing or curse, you choose. Blessing or curse. I want us to visit one more time this powerful statement from a friend of mine in Raleigh, North Carolina, Pastor Chad Harvey. Love changed everything. Musicians, would you join me at the front?
I'm a normal person, and I refuse to believe that Christ has risen from the dead. I'm completely certain my own view of religion is more important than believing in Jesus, the Son of God. I have my priorities straight because my success, lots of money, and popularity is way more important than family, faith, and serving God. I tell you this, once upon a time, families stayed together, but this is no longer true. This is a generation unwilling to commit. Normal people say, I'll be broke, divorced, and spiritually empty. I do not concede that I will be weird and different from the crowd. In the future, I will travel the broad, comfortable, and normal path. No longer can it be said that my life will count. It will be evident that I am short-sighted, selfish, and only living for me. It is foolish to presume that I am different and can change the world. Until love changed everything, and I began to look at life from a new perspective. I am different and can change the world. It is foolish to presume that I am short-sighted, selfish, and only living for me. It will be evident that my life will count. No longer can it be said that I will travel the broad, comfortable, and normal path. In the future, I will be weird and different from the crowd. I do not concede that I'll be broke, divorced, and spiritually empty. Normal people say this is a generation unwilling to commit, but this is no longer true. Families stayed together once upon a time. I tell you this, family, faith, and serving God is way more important than my success, lots of money, and popularity. I have my priorities straight because believing in Jesus, the Son of God, is more important than my own view of religion. I'm completely certain Christ has risen from the dead, and I refuse to believe I am a normal person.
Love changed everything, didn't it? Christ changed everything. I would hate to think that I had to live under the bondage of the old covenant. But Christ comes and fulfills the law. And he made it so much easier. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I get this sense as I was preparing for today, that today would be the day of, you know, this was Deuteronomy. This was the second law. This was the reiteration, renewal, the renewal of it to a generation that just didn't live during those seasons. They weren't aware of all of the legacy that had taken place in the lives of their ancestors. They were told the story. And you and I are alive today, and we have the joy of receiving by faith Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, sometimes you make me feel like, you know, you're a superhuman and you're living this kind of way and that you don't have normal frustrations. And No. I have a very, very, very normal, frustrating life from time to time. Pastor, do you have bad thoughts? Yes, I do. I don't act on those bad thoughts. Pastor, do you sometimes just lose your cool? And have you ever just lost your cool and said a cuss word? Yes, I have. I probably will again. How many of you have? Yes, you have. How many of you have ever lied just then? Listen, but Christianity, hear me, don't misunderstand the message today. Christianity is not about keeping rules. But it's neither is it about abusing God's grace. Okay? I have a license in my pocket just like you that says I'm capable of driving down the highways of North Carolina. Let me see your license, and you give it to them. It's a license to drive. It's not a license to drive crazy. Okay? It's not a license for 70 or 75 or 80. But how many of us drive 70 or 75 or 80? Okay? But what you're doing then is abusing the you're abusing the law. The law was put in place to do what? To keep you straight. Okay? To safeguard your life and the lives of others. So grace is not to be abused. Romans chapter 6, somebody help me here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Shall we not? My mind's leaving me. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Somebody read that for me. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? I got it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Am I on it, Pastor Mike? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I have to go to the King James when I'm quoting. Sorry. God forbid. By no means, the NIV says. Because he that is dead to sin, let them live no longer in it. Okay? So I used to, okay? I don't do that anymore. Because I profess Christ. And I've dealt with people all the time, and people that have had shortcomings in their lives, and I hold them to accountability. I meet with people on a monthly basis, and so one of the first questions I'll ask them sometime is, well, how's this past week been? How's this past week? Well, it's been good. Well, did you tell me about your experiences with? No, I had a great week, man. I spotless. Everything was great. Well, good. Let me celebrate you right here. Good, that was great. Now let's do this again. Let's do this again and again and again. And let's just be successful, okay? Because you know what? The enemy would love, say you're trying to overcome a certain vice, okay? Maybe you've got a bad habit and you're trying to overcome that. And you say, you know what? I'm done with it. I've asked the Holy Spirit to help me. I believe God just took that desire away from me. So I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to toe the line, buddy. And then all of a sudden, 6 months pass away, and you know what? You're frustrated, and you start to go back to Egypt. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Come on. You say, you know what? I'm just going to, come on, Jack Daniels. Me and you are going to talk this out. And you just go down the wrong path, okay? You go down the wrong path. When you do sin, the Bible says, you have an advocate. Jesus Christ, the Holy One. You are going to sin. I promise you. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you run. I don't care how much Christian music you listen to. You are going to experience some failures. But you don't have to live in that. Okay? You don't. You don't have to live in that. No, no, no. You get up. You brush your knees off and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for your amazing what? Grace. It's a gift of God. And so Paul is trying to tell the church here at Rome, chapter 6, don't use your grace. Don't use the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection. Here we go, as a license for you to make mistakes. Well, I got grace. What are you doing this weekend? Well, I do have grace, so I guess I'm going to go to the event. Okay? Guess I'm going to go to the event. No, maybe you don't need to go. Maybe you say, you know, I wish I could be there, but unfortunately I'm not able. And the only reason you say that is because you know you're better off not to be there. Better off not to be there. How many of you can just join me in saying, Pastor, I know, I know, I know of God's amazing power, because I am an example of how I've been able to overcome some crazy stuff in my life and live a free life. Anybody? Come on. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Such a beautiful thing. Somebody asked Zach one day, it was a, I guess now it's a piece of cake, right? You know, you're not doing that anymore. And I remember what Zach said, man, it hit my chest like a bullet. He said, no, it's harder. It's harder. But you make a steadfast commitment. You make a steadfast commitment and you commit to this thing. And the Holy Ghost will give you the enabling power to say no, Paul said, to ungodliness. You know, I hope that you can't leave here today with any condemning word or feeling that you felt like came out of my mouth today. As a pastor and as a friend, I love you. I do. I love you. I want God's best for you. And I believe that the greater days for you and for me and for this church are ahead of us. Amen. Come on, worship the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Joy, would you join me here? And there's a communion spot right here. Pastor Mike and Pastor Bonnie, would you guys come and grab one of those? Pastor Bernie, would you and Miss Doris come and help us with communion here? Praise God. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. Okay? This is a wonderful thing. Abdul, one of our elders, if you and Miss Julie would help us here. Right here on the end. You know, I want to ask you a question before we receive communion. Is there anyone here today, just in all honesty, you'd say, Pastor, I just want to tell you that today, I made a fresh commitment in my heart to follow the command of Jesus, to love the Lord God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. Could I just see your hand? Just hold it up for a second. I'm making a fresh commitment to the things of Christ. Anybody? Anybody at all? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Making a fresh commitment. There's been a little disappointments along the journey, but I'm getting on a different road. I'm taking an exit, okay? And I'm getting on a different highway. Anybody else? The Lord's done that for you today during the message. Anybody? Praise God. Well, Sister Gloria, why don't you come? We serve those special people first, okay? So come on, give it up for Gloria. Gloria? So you get to sit at the table first. Can you share just a word of testimony, of a thanks to the Lord for some? Evidently God's working in your heart. And so there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So just share a word just to the people to hopefully encourage someone.
Well, praise God, everybody. For the last couple of two or three weeks, I have been going through, and it's family. And I've been going through like a quiet time in my life or whatever. So, you know, it's like God says, sometimes you got to separate from people and things or whatever. So, you know, those things like, you know, like the parties and this stuff like that. So, and even with my son and even with the baby and stuff, and it's hard, but I have to, you know, pull back. Because I, you know, it was like last Sunday, you know, it's always something Saturday night that causes me to miss church. And I love the Lord with all my heart, my mind, my body. And so, and you know, and all through the week I pray and I talk to them and I invite, you know, church on Sunday, everybody. You know, I'm the last, I'm the baby of my family and I'm the last. So they look at me like the matriarch and, you know, everybody just pour out their problems on me. And I be, you know, saying, you know, we got to pray more. You know, we got to read more. We got to study more. And I'm on the phone and I'm, you know, and I'm trying to say, come on, y'all, let's do this thing, you know. And then when, you know, like, when I have to come to church on Sunday by myself, and then I look and they still not doing it. You know what I'm saying, Pastor? So, you know, I'm trying to get my different mindset about it.
Carpenter shop folks like that, too.
Yeah, so, I'm trying to do a new walk, you know. I have to do me, you know. because sometimes, you know, you have to say, you know, what is my part on this? Am I doing the right thing? You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to do some new avenues in my life.
Come on, give it up to her. Yes. You know, the word says you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So today, Gloria, you'll be strengthened by that testimony. Tears down your face, washing and cleansing in your heart, God is doing for you right now. So, you know, Paul said that we were to use this. He said the Lord Jesus, the same night that he was betrayed, that he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And in like manner, the Bible says that Paul tells us that he took the cup also. And as he raises it up, he says, this is the new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. And he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you know what you're doing? You're saying, that's the thing right there. That's the thing. You show forth the Lord's death. Death for my sins. It doesn't mean you're living a perfect life, okay? Because if we've just said, hey, if you're living a perfect life, you're free to come to take communion today, we wouldn't need but just a few pieces of bread, okay? And then we'd be deceived, because none of us are living a perfect life. We're not. But my thing, and I don't have this in my notes, but I heard the Holy Spirit say it during the message. Listen, some of you need to hear that Romans 6 thing. Do not abuse God's grace. Well, you know, God's good. Yes, he is. But I just gave you a 35 or 40 minute treatise on if you will, then I will. Okay? And God wants you to live a clean life. He does. Because your life, as I said earlier, is read by other people. And so you want to leave a legacy. These flowers are here today, not because the church is getting back into flowers. We're not, okay? They were left here from a funeral. And you know, when I had the privilege of preaching Wayne's funeral just this past week, and I shared about what he taught me. Right before he died, I was at his house, and I walked into his bedroom, and there was a big flat screen TV on the wall. There's a game show on, Pat Sajak, Wheel of Fortune. And I walked into the room and I saw the consonants and I saw the vowels and I could tell what it was. And he's in the bed there close to death. And I said, Wayne, look at here. This is going to be huge. That was the phrase. This is going to be huge. I said, Wayne, this is going to be huge. And he looked at me, and him and I communicated while nobody else in the room was communicating. And he was almost like saying, yep, you're right. I'm getting ready to step out of here. And I said, it's going to be huge. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has planned for his people. When you read the obituaries, how many of y'all look and see who died? You know, you see it in the paper. You see it on the, you look, hey, there's somebody died on Facebook. You look at it. My college professor, Dr. Jack Sharp, taught psychology, said this. He said, next time you read an obituary, put your name on it. Wallace Clayton Phillips, age 61, died Tuesday of a massive heart attack in Roanoke Joanne Hospital. Wallace is survived by a wife, Joy, a son, Josh, a daughter, Abby, a son, Zach, and 6 grandkids. Funeral services will be held at Carpenter Shop International Church in Ahoskie Saturday at 2. The family is having a private burial service. Please pray for the Phillips family. When that man told me that, I thought, you know what? That's sick. You know what? That's not sick. That's not sick at all. Because you know what? One day the paper will read, Wallace Clayton Phillips, 97. Died. Okay. I'm going on up there, guys. Okay. Yeah, you thought I was going to say 61, didn't you? Not a chance, honey. Not a chance. Okay. Okay, maybe I missed it. 99. I don't know. But One day my name's going to be there, okay? One day your name is going to be there. We are just passing through here. And in this season of our life, God wants you to be the very best you that you can be. Help me, Lord. So as you come today, this in fact is just like renewal. This is a renewal of your faith in Christ Jesus, a showing forth his death until he comes. So Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the juice. Both are symbols of your body wounded and bruised for us, broken on the tree of Calvary for our sins, of your blood shed for us. And Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. So we thank you today for these elements of communion. In Jesus' name. If you're at home watching online today, listen, go to the cabinet, get a piece of bread, open the refrigerator. All I have is orange juice. Or grab some juice, okay? And join with us online and receive communion right there in your house right now. And just receive a reminder of God's powerful grace. If you will, then I will. So why don't you come? There's four places that you can come and receive the Lord's Supper today. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for your patience with me, God. Thank you, God, for allowing me to live. Thank you for blessing me. I choose blessing today. I reject cursing. I choose today to just step it up, to do the very best I can, to give God my all, to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name.
What can wash away?
you for this fresh reminder of your death for us, that you rose again from the grave, that you're ever seated on the right hand of the Father, now interceding for us. Lord, I pray that we would all come to reality for our own selves, that it's certainly a blessing that we choose. We choose you, Lord. We say goodbye to curses, even generational things. I just come against those things, God, that are plaguing some of your children, knocking on their doors, offering opportunities for them just to disobey. And Lord, I thank you, God, that there's strength in gathering. There's encouragement in gathering. There's fuel in gathering, God, as we come together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May the things that we share, the things that we do in ministry, encourage others. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today, would you? Hallelujah. So glad you're able to make it today. Please, listen, if you're here, these cards are in the foyer. Put these things to work, man. Put them to work. They're in the foyer. There's also some carpenter shop cards in there. There's also devotionals that are provided by Home Life Care and ProMed. Please pick those up. Stay in the Word of God. Share the opportunities with believers, people that you come in contact with. Let's believe God for just a harvest of souls in these days in which we live. Praise God. Invite people to church. Amen. Praise God. Invite them to church. Pastor Joy got a call last night from somebody. Hey, just wanted to find out what time service is tomorrow. 10 o'clock. Amen. And she's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Guess what? If you invite people, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come. They're going to come to church. So we're just excited for you to be here today. Let's get people engaged and get people into the house of the Lord. And you have an awesome, awesome Sunday. God's blessed us with incredible weather. And you still got a long afternoon ahead of you to do whatever you want to do. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day.